So Frankie raised a glass to his own success. Ha! Here's to achievement, he said, as he clinked glasses with two, three other high school buddies, and they drank deeply of the champagne. And then he looked a little bit awkwardly over at the flight attendant. So do I just nod my head and the plane leaves? She said, yeah, that's how it works. I said, cool. Well, I'm ready to go then. Very well, sir, she said. And Frankie and a couple of his friends, they got ready to go on a weekend excursion to Europe to partay, to celebrate his good fortune. He'd never actually been able to rent a private jet before, but man, is it cool, he thought. And as he settled back in his chair, got some actually very good in-flight food, looked out the window, could see, as they broke above the clouds, could see the sun setting. Gorgeous. And worth it, he thought to himself. He'd worked 15 years to build up a business. And now, just that past week, the ink was finally dry on a $10 million sale of his mobile phone app. Started thinking of all the things he could do. Places he would invest his money, and how his money would be working for him now, and all the hard work that got to this moment, this $10 million moment. And he thought about his kids, who sadly couldn't be with him on the trip. They were with their mom that weekend. He missed his kids. He really missed. Didn't always miss his ex. She just didn't get him. She didn't understand his vision and his drive for this company. But now, $10 million. $10 million sale. Wow. Sure was worth it, he thought to himself. And sitting there in the chair next to him, though Frankie couldn't see it at all, was God. And God, if Frankie could have heard his voice, he would have heard, Frankie, you poor, poor, poor man. You poor fool. See, what Frankie didn't know, because nobody expects to have a massive heart attack at age 35. Nobody does. What Frankie didn't know was that by the time the plane would make its emergency landing and by the time the wheels would hit the tarmac, he would already be long, long lost. And he died a very poor fool. Well, today we're looking in Luke chapter 12, and Jesus tells a story a little bit like that. He's made a contemporary version of an old story. And at the core of that story, first is a cautionary tale, you know, something that we're supposed to avoid. And the second story is one of comfort. But through all of them, there's this theme. And this is the big idea. You know, as we're in the series called Disciple, looking at what does it mean to follow Jesus with your life? One of the things as part of that, we've talked about prayer. We've talked about the theological foundation of grace. Today, we're talking about how God is present in every moment of every day. God is present. When we remember that, we find a greater sense of peace and joy and satisfaction. And when we forget that, when we neglect that, we do so to our own peril. And that's what the stories are going to be about today as we open God's Word. And in particular, I want us to talk about the place in life where for most of us, we most easily get disconnected with the truth that God is present. And I believe that's in our places of work. So whether your work is in the home, whether your work is in various points of industry, whether you're retired and your primary work is with your family or in areas of volunteering, for most of us, it's what we spend the majority of our conscious waking hours doing, work. And it's really easy, I think, for us to be thinking, oh yeah, that's a business decision, not really a faith decision. Or that's an organizational dynamics decision, not really a faith decision. That's an accounting decision, not a faith decision. That's a medical decision, not really a faith decision of realizing that God actually wants to be present in every part of every day. And there's some powerful promises of what can change in our life as we do. So we're going to be looking in Luke chapter 12, starting with verse 13. So someone in the crowd said to him, Jesus, said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." So Jesus, this guy isn't doing what I want. You tell him. Sick him, Jesus. Ever had somebody try to sick Jesus on you? You know? Jesus, because I know that God's on my side. He totally wants my team to win. Totally. We all get so convinced. So Jesus, would you please just settle this matter and tell him off? Okay. Let's see how Jesus responds. Well, Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbitrator between you?" In other words, Jesus was not going to get involved in this one. Because you know what? Jesus did not come to take sides. Jesus came to take over. With your political affiliations, Jesus didn't come to take sides. He came to take over. He came to for you and for me to look at the world in brand new ways through Jesus. He's not taking sides. He's taking over. Then Jesus said to them, verse 15, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." In verse 16, and he told them this parable. "The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest." Wow, that'd be great. Don't you want your ground to yield an abundant harvest? You know what we're praying for in our businesses, in our organizations? Abundant harvest. Right? Nod. Yeah, okay. Would you like an abundant harvest? Yes, me too. Places of work. Woo! Finally, the Lord's blessing. This is great. An abundant harvest. I like this. Yes. Okay. Verse 17, he thought to himself, "What shall I do? Got a terrible problem. All this money stacking up everywhere. Just can't, tripping on it, can't get rid of it. What do I do? Oh, I have no place to store my crops. It's just everywhere. Oh, poor guy. Oh, wouldn't you like to have his problem? Yeah, that'd be a great problem. Give me that problem, Lord. I'm ready." Sort of. Not really. Get ready. Okay, verse 18. Then he said to himself, "Well, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barn. I'll build a bigger barn. Yeah. And there I will store my surplus grain. I'll make investments. That's what I'll do. I'll find a way. Amazingly enough, no matter how much money you give me, I can find something to do with it. I'm just resourceful like that." In verse 19, "And I'll say to myself, you have grain laid up for many years. So take life easy. Eat, drink, and party." Or well, that's not exactly. Be merry. So cut loose, man. It's awesome. Verse 20. Uh-oh. "But God said to him, you fool. All the things you want God to say to you, this is not it. You fool. Because this very night, your life will be demanded from you. And then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" Verse 21. "This is how it will be with those who store up things for themselves, but are not rich toward God. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear." You have fashion magazines right all around the house. Does this make me look fat? I mean, does this really? Don't answer that. Okay. Don't worry about that, the Bible tells us. Because, verse 23, "Because life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing." Ladies, your value is a whole lot more than just how you look. Right? Amen. Verse 24, "Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Verse 25, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Well, I don't know, but I've sure been trying. I can add, if that could work, if there was a one-to-one worry to hour of life ratio, I'd be doing great. How about you? But you know, it's weird because if I could add time to my life by the amount I'm worrying, I could live an old age. But you know, science actually tells us it's the exact opposite. The more I worry, the more I stress, especially about the wrong things. Some stress is good, but worry stress, where you can't do anything about it, all it does is shorten your life. We know that. But since you cannot change this very little thing, you can't even do that, why do you worry about the rest? Verse 27, consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his splendor, not even Solomon in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. Yesterday with our family, we went down to the nature preserve off of Walla Walla Point Park. You ever been down there? Yeah, or the ladies, you went on a hike yesterday, or you just walk around the valley. Isn't it amazing how God just, in every season, there's something beautiful. Even winter, there's something beautiful. He's an artist. And nature is his canvas. And none of it had anything to do with you. I mean, he made it for you to enjoy. But whether or not you had a good week or a bad week, the leaves still change their color. Whether or not you notice it or not, the brilliant colors of autumn, they'll still be there. So I hope you notice it. So I hope you pay attention. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow will be thrown into a fire, is that what you do with the leaves sometimes? You burn them? You clothe the grass of the field. How much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And don't set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Don't worry about it. The pagan world runs after all such things. And your Father knows. Your Father knows that you need them. Think of all the things that you've worried about in the past week, all the stresses, the concerns. Your Father knows all the things you need. Your Father knows. Your Father knows that you need them. And then verse 31. There's one thing we remember today. I hope it would be that. This might be a great verse to memorize, because it's a promise to claim, really, in Scripture. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. What do you think it means to seek God's kingdom in every place in life, to be looking for God? How are you at work in the situation? Lord, how are you at work in my workplace? Lord, in this family dispute, I mean, how are you at work in my parenting decision right now? How are you at work? I thought Kate's illustration earlier was so good, keeping the lid off of my life. God, I am open to the ways that you are working in me and through me in every moment of every day. And the promise of Scripture is, as we seek the kingdom of God, all these things, all the things you've been worrying about, all the decisions you've been trying to make, somehow or another, God's going to work it out. They'll be given to you as well. Maybe not in the way that you were hoped for, because God doesn't work for you. But God can lead you and God can guide you, and you and I, we can experience greater peace and greater joy as we seek his kingdom. That's the promise of Scripture. So verse 32. So do not be afraid, little flock. Do not be afraid. What are you afraid of today? You don't need to be. Do not be afraid, little flock. Your Father has been pleased to give you, his kingdom. So verse 32. So sell your possessions. Give to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. Just think about this for a second. As we seek God with our life, as we have greater peace and joy and satisfaction, one of the marks of that is our lives become increasingly generous. We're not so worried about me and will everything be okay for me? You go, God's okay and God's working in me and I'm okay in God. And so I can increasingly give my attention, my resources to things that help you. When I'm wound up in me, I have a hard time seeing you. When I'm secure in who I am in Christ, I can engage the needs around me. One of the marks, not the only mark, but one of the marks of somebody that is growing in their walk with the Lord is they become increasingly generous. Does your checkbook know that you're a Christian? Your checkbook with time, if you are a Christian, your checkbook will know that you're a Christian. And it tells us that we can actually store up a treasure in heaven. Now, think about it this way. Think of the people in your life that have been most significant to you. People that you go, this person has really left a legacy in me. Chances are, the thing about that person that you remember the most was what they gave, not what they had. You probably didn't go, oh yeah, they had the most awesome car. It was just under like plastic the whole time. I never get to really sit in it, but man, did they make an impact on my life? Probably not. Maybe I'm wrong. Go ahead. And if you think I'm wrong, send all you want to spamfilter@columbiagrove.org. I would love to read that. So, but probably, the people that made the most lasting difference in you, it was because of what they gave. Because their life was generous. And so they gave you their time and their attention. In some cases, their resources. I mean, they gave you things that made your life better. It's by what they gave that you remember them. It's what they gave that made a difference. And so as we become increasingly connected to Jesus, we increasingly have lives that will give. In one form or another. God will lead you. You'll know how to do it. But you, as you deepen in your walk with Jesus, you'll increasingly be known as a giver. Verse 34 says, for where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. If you were to look at your calendar, if you were to look at your checkbook, I can tell you the things that you really value. It's where you spend your time. It's where you spend your treasure. That's the things that matter the most. And the good news is that in every part of every day, every moment on that calendar, every appointment, God wants to be there. He is there already. He just wants to do that with you. And he says, seek first the kingdom. Look for God in every circumstance. And the things that you've been worried about all along, things that you've been worried about all along will be given to you as well. So here's how I'd like to kind of close today. Is we work in all these different areas. I mean, in this room, we've got people that their primary vocation is as an educator, whether that's in the public school, private school, and homeschool. Your primary daily vocation is as an educator. Some, you're in medicine. So whether that's in administration or you're hands-on, you're a nurse, you're a doctor, you're a nursing student, you're something, you're involving with medicine. Some are in services. You help get people from point A to point B. You help people with the things that need. Some of you are in sales. I'd like us to just take some time and be, you know, praying for each other in our various areas of vocation. So what I'd like you to do is as we kind of look at an area, is maybe raise your hand if you say that's the my primary vocation. Like if your primary vocation is in the home, making a good home and raising kids and possibly raising grandkids, well, you put your hand up at that point. And we can be, you know, you can pray with your eyes open today. It's okay. So we can be kind of looking around the room. We can be praying for each other. You might find you need to put your hand up for more than one category. That's fine too. You can be a double dipper. That's good. We'll pray for you even more. Wonderful. Because some, you know, our lives are a little complex and we've got multiple areas. But for each, just to commit each other to the Lord in this area where God so much wants to be at work. And it's often so easy to forget Him. Lord, help me to seek Your kingdom. So let's pray together for each other. And let's start with those whose primary vocation is in the home. Primary vocation is in the home. And so, Lord, we pray for each other. That we would seek Your kingdom. That those who have their hands raised, Lord, that they would make good homes. Places where people thrive. Where people are welcome. For those who have responsibilities with children or grandchildren. Lord, we thank You for the influence that their life has because You have them in that spot in life right now. Lord, help them to seek and to see Your kingdom at work there. Now, for those who are educators, whether public, private, or homeschool, let's put some hands up. Some of you have your hands up twice. Lord, we thank You for the educators in our congregation. Those who, whether through teaching or through administration, they create environments where kids can thrive and grow. Lord, may they, may we seek and see Your kingdom. But those that are in sales of some sort, you sell a service or a product. Lord, for those who are in sales, we recognize that sales is a whole lot more than selling a widget. It's about helping somebody get the thing that they need, something that will enhance their life and make it better. And that these who are in sales, they are guiding people to the right product and the right services that they can, that their lives can be made better. Lord, help them, help us to seek and see Your kingdom in sales. Who of you is in a service industry of some sort? You're serving. Some of you have your hands up twice, and that's okay. For those who serve in finances, in construction, in counseling, Lord, help them, help us to seek and see Your kingdom. That it's not just about nails pounded or clients visited. It's about changing people's lives and making people's lives better as a result of their work in the world. Those who would be involved in medicine in one shape or form, you're a doctor, you're a nurse, you're an administrator, you collect the money for medicine. You're somehow, you are connected to the medical industry. Put some hands up. All right, some of you, that's good. Lord, thank You that it's through these hands that You very frequently, You bring healing into people's lives. That lives are elongated. That lives are made better and healthier as a result of their work in the world. Lord, may they seek and see Your kingdom in what they do with the work of their hands and the work of their minds. Those who are in the judicial system of some sort, you're a lawyer, you're involved in law enforcement. Yeah, so Lord, for those who are working in the legal professions, that are helping our society to be more just, to be more good, to be more right, Lord, guide the laws. Lord, guide them. Guide the actions that happen, even on the mundane and local level, where good decisions can be made so the people are treated fairly and well. Lord, may they seek and see Your kingdom. And Lord, for those who I've just missed their area of industry, thank You, God, that in every place You're at work. In every situation, there You are, You're present. Thank You, Lord, that as we turn our attention to You, we find greater peace and joy and satisfaction and fulfillment. And we get to reap the benefits of Your promise, that as we seek Your kingdom, these things will be given to us as well. Lead us, Lord. May we invest our lives generously and well in things that last and matter. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.